I invite you this evening to please turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 4 as we come to consider the matter of the sin of slothfulness, God's word against laziness. Proverbs 13 and verse 4 as we continue our topical series in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 13 and verse 4. Solomon writes the following words, Proverbs 13 and verse 4, he says, under the inspiration of God, the soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. Would you please pray with me? Our Father, we thank you for the wonderful truths that we have sung this evening. We thank you, O God, that we have confessed that we need the Spirit to come and illumine and strengthen and give help, O God, to consider your truth. So we pray, O God, that this night, by the Spirit, you would open up the truths of the Word of God to us. And, O God, that indeed you would feed us with the finest wheat of your Word. We confess, O God, that we are ignorant. We confess, O God, that we are so prone to wander. So prone, O God, to embrace the things of this world. So come then, we pray, this night, and give light from heaven. Shine your truth into our hearts. Give us clarity of thought and mind and purpose. And for these things we will bless your name. Come, we pray, O Holy Spirit. Give us what we lack. Empower us for the things before us. And we ask all of these mercies in and through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. The bumper stickers that we often see on cars can be quite telling. Very often these little slogans accurately reflect the attitude of many in our day. Now, there are several bumper stickers which are directly related to the topic at hand for this evening, and they read as follows. Work fascinates me. I can sit around all day and watch it for hours. Or, the worst day of fishing is better than the best day of working. Or, hard work may not kill me, but why take a chance? And perhaps you've seen some of these bumper stickers around town. Perhaps you've even chuckled as you've seen them. However, dear brothers and sisters, I must say that all of them display an anti-biblical disposition, a disposition which is rampant in our day. Dear friends, typically in our day, the idea among people is that we should work as little as we can. The idea in most places is that we should do what we have to do, but not necessarily exert ourselves or give 100% to any specific task. As a matter of fact, it's interesting to note that one online source says that this disposition has advanced so far that in France, their law requires 5 weeks of paid vacation every year to all employees, as well as 10 national holidays annually. So, brethren, that's 45 days of paid vacation a year for every person who holds a job. Well, clearly then, concerning this matter of laziness, clearly this whole topic, its writing is on the wall. The idea with most is essentially that hard work is evil and kicking back is best. The idea is that we should make as much as we can when we are young so that by the time we are in our 40s, we can just take it easy and play golf all day. Now, of course, there's nothing wrong with playing golf. However, there's definitely something wrong with being lazy. While in fact, there's nothing wrong with taking breaks from time to time, especially after a day of hard work, there's definitely something wrong with being a slothful individual, biblically speaking. Now, if ever there was a book in the Bible which address this matter of slothfulness head on, clearly it is the book of Proverbs. Proverbs, as most of you know, has much to say about this topic of having a solid work ethic. Proverbs is filled with dozens of passages that addresses this issue head on, displaying for us the glories and blessings of hard work and the warnings and follies of idleness. According to the book of Proverbs and all of the Word of God, such things as hard work and industrious labors are that which the Bible commends in every place. However, being a lazy person, a mere dreamer of sorts, is that which Scripture condemns. And therefore, the study of our topic for this evening is vital for us as Christians. Now, dear brothers and sisters, since the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10 that whatever our hand finds to do, we are to do with all of our might, this is to be a central disposition which characterizes all of us. This is how we are to live with the help and grace of God. So as we come then to take up this topic for this evening, I ask you to note with me first in 4a of our passage, the negative statement. The negative statement. Here is Solomon instructs us with God's divine wisdom concerning the matter at hand. He writes, note the language again, the soul of the lazy man desires and has nothing. Now, as Solomon begins his instruction here in this verse, he speaks about a lazy man, also called the sluggard in the King James Version of the Bible. Now, what can we say about this individual, biblically speaking? What are some of his traits? Well, this Hebrew word for lazy man or sluggard occurs 14 times in the book of Proverbs, and basically it refers to an undisciplined individual who lacks motivation. Now, concerning some of his traits, these are described in many places in the book of Proverbs. For example, in Proverbs 19 and verse 24, we're told that the sluggard is one who does not take initiative, for he buries his hand in his own bowl and will not as much as take it out of the bowl to bring it to his mouth again. Also, in Proverbs 20 and verse 4, we're told that the sluggard does not do his work on time, and therefore he will beg during harvest season, yet have nothing. In addition, we're told in Proverbs 21 and verse 25 that the lazy man won't work, for his hand refuses to labor. And then in Proverbs 22 and verse 13, we're told that the sluggard creates imaginary excuses for why he is not able to go out and work, because he says, there is a lion outside, I will be slain in the streets. And so, I trust that you are beginning to get a sense for what this individual is like. It's not that this individual can't work because of a disability or something like this. No, rather, he doesn't work because he is too lazy to work. This individual is a godless person who is seriously condemned and frowned upon in the Word of God. Now, regarding such an individual who is often depicted in the Bible as being prideful, for we read in Proverbs 26 and verse 16 that the sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. Regarding this individual, it's interesting to note that God tells him to go to a very tiny creature in order to learn some very valuable lessons about having a good and proper work ethic. Now, what is that very tiny little creature? Well, of course, you know, it is the ant. There in Proverbs 6, verse 6 and following, Solomon, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, commands the idle man to consider the ant. Consider her ways and be wise. Here Solomon says to the sluggard, to go and observe, carefully consider this little creature very closely. Solomon doesn't say, go to the schoolyard. Rather, he says, go to the anthill and see how disciplined and diligent the ant is, working without supervision, having the foresight to prepare for the future by working all summer long, gathering and storing its food before the winter season. There in that passage, Solomon writes the following words, go to the ant, you sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which, having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supply in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. So, what a great teacher the little ant is. Here, this little bug, which could be crushed under our feet in a moment, has a lot to say to us. According to this passage in Proverbs 6 and following, the ant is a great revealer of truth, one that we do well to learn from. So looking back at our passage here, Solomon says in our verse that the soul of the lazy man desires. The soul of the lazy man desires. Now the word soul here, which is the Hebrew word nephesh, has a broad range of meaning in Scripture, and the word appears hundreds of times in the Old Testament. The word nephesh can refer to a man's physical constitution. However, here in this context, it refers to a man's innermost part. Here the word refers to that which goes on deep within a man, within a woman. And so Solomon says that this lazy man, this sluggard, has great wishes and wants within himself. So we see here that in this sense, the sluggard is no different than anyone else. This man, this woman, has desires. They have wants. They have strong longings. And being that the object of the desire is not identified in the passage, clearly the focus could be quite broad concerning what the individual desires, if he's like most of us. Perhaps he desires financial security. If he's like most of us, perhaps he wants respect from his or her peers. And if he's like most of us, perhaps he desires a mate. Surely this individual, like most of us, wants good things in life, which in and of itself is a fine desire. However, because he's lazy, because he or she is a sluggard, they do not work to gain the things that they desire. This man has strong, passionate longings. However, our passage says he has nothing. He has nothing. And so, I trust you see the problem with this man. Again, it's not that he desires. That's not his problem. However, because he is a lazy man, because he's not a very diligent person, he does not prepare for the accomplishing of those things he desires, or puts the time in required to get what he wants, and therefore his or her desires never come to pass in their lives. You see, friends, this man is only a wishful thinker, yet he never succeeds. He is ambitious, however, his ambitions are vain because he makes no consistent and conscientious effort to secure their fulfillment. The sluggard is only a talker. He is not a doer. He has many plans, but he puts no feet to his plans, and therefore, according to Proverbs 10 and verse 5, he causes shame. Oh yes, it's true. He builds many castles. However, they're all castles built in the air. Listen to what John Trapp, the great Puritan, says about this individual. Trapp says that the sluggard would and would not. He would and he would not. He says he would have the end, but would not use the means. He would have the end, the goal, to be realized, but he would not use the means in order to get the goal. Or as Charles Bridges says in commenting on this passage, he said, quote, "The sluggard would be wise without study and rich without labor." He'd be wise without study and rich without labor. The point is, he won't be either one of those things. So clearly, I think we see the folly and the danger of being a lazy man. I trust we see that quite plainly. We see the horrors of being such an individual, having these desires, having these strong wants in life, but because he's lazy, because he's a sluggard, because he will not put feet to his plans, he has nothing. Dear friends, instead of being a successful individual, this person is a sorrowful individual. Instead of getting what he wants in life, he lives a life of regret, and this is because desire without exertion is useless. Is useless. Dear friends, in the ordinary will of God, according to Genesis 3, verse 19, it is from the sweat of our face that we shall eat bread, and so it is. That's the ordinary will of God. It's not that we're just to pray, Lord, give me this day my daily bread and nothing more. No, we're to pray, Lord, give us this daily bread, and then we are to get up, get out, and secure work to that blessed and holy end. Now, of course, there is hope for the sluggard. There is hope for lazy people, and that hope is found in Jesus Christ our Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ is in the business of transforming people, and clearly lazy people are not out of his scope. And so although by nature we might be lazy, by God's grace we do not have to stay this way. Well, thanks be to God that there's another person in our passage for us to look at and to learn from. And so having seen in 4a the negative statement, consider with me secondly the positive statement in 4b, the positive statement. Note the text again. We read, the soul of the lazy man desires, he wants, he craves, yet he has nothing. However, the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. Well, we have here in our passage a great antithesis being set forth. Here we have a vivid contrast between the lazy man and the diligent man. Now, what exactly does the word diligent mean here in the passage? Well, the adjective literally means industrious. It speaks about one who is full of determination and purpose. This individual, this diligent man, this diligent woman is a hard worker. They give all that they have to any particular task that they are engaged in. Now, what does the Bible say about such a person? Well, there are many great things, and therefore we ought to be motivated to be this type of individual. So, for example, we read in Proverbs 12 and verse 24 that in contrast to the lazy person who will be put to forced labor, the hand of the diligent shall rule. Again, there in Proverbs 12 and verse 27, we're told that because the lazy man won't work hard enough to see the fruits of his labors, he doesn't even lift his fork to eat the roast that he took in hunting. However, diligence is a man's precious possession. In addition, in Proverbs 22 and verse 29, Solomon says, do you see a man who excels in his work? Literally, do you see a man who is prompt in all that he does? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. And then in our passage before us tonight, we're told that the diligent, the hard-working individual will be made rich. Now, what is it, exactly does it mean that he or she, this person, will be made rich? Well, certainly the word rich here could refer to material wealth. Technically speaking, the Hebrew word means prosperous, will be made prosperous. Actually, we could translate the sentence this way. The soul of the diligent will be made fat. That's the King James Version. Will be made fat. You say, what does that mean? Will be made fat. I don't want to be fat. I'm trying to stay thin. The soul of the diligent will be fat. No, friends, you want a fat soul. You want a soul which is fully satisfied. That's what the word fat means. The figure means that those who work hard will be thoroughly satisfied in life. So here we have this glorious picture of this diligent, hard-working individual and the blessings that they will know in life. In opposition to the sluggard who desires much in life but gets nothing, this one who works hard, who works purposefully for the glory and honor of God and for the good of others, will continually know the blessings of the Lord their God. As Matthew Henry rightly says, quote, this individual shall have abundance and shall have the comfortable enjoyment of it. Well, here then is the main burden of the passage. Its point is simple and plain, yet profound and very important that we get as Christians. Dear brothers and sisters, if by the grace of God we are diligent, if with Christ's help we are industrious people, we will know the Lord's blessings in our lives. However, if we're lazy, if we are like the sluggard, if we embrace the popular bumper sticker theology in our land concerning work, we will suffer greatly. Dear ones, if all that we do is just enough to get by, we will miss God's best for our lives. Well, in the time that remains, I want to draw out several applications from what we've been considering this evening. Since laziness is a great sin and diligence is in fact man's precious possession, what can we take for ourselves, having considered the burden, the heart of this passage in the Bible's teaching in this regard? Let me speak firstly to all of you who are Christians here this evening. Now, I trust that if you have come to this church for any length of time, that you have a good work ethic. I trust that all of you, either in your homes or in your jobs, labor hard, knowing that according to Colossians 3 and verse 23, whatever you do, you are to do heartily as unto the Lord and not as unto men. Now again, I'm convinced concerning this matter for all of you here tonight. But dear ones, let me encourage you to continue to abound more and more in this regard. You see, none of us have arrived at the matter at hand concerning being diligent. And since laziness is very close to all of our hearts, we must constantly be on guard as Christians. None of us have arrived in this regard. It's not like we get saved and all of a sudden laziness drops out of our hearts. No, this is not the case. And unfortunately, we tend to give ourselves passes in this regard so that we don't really seek to excel and work as hard as we ought to do. And so this evening, if you are going to excel regarding this matter of having a good work ethic without, again, becoming a workaholic or working on the Lord's Day, etc., what things must you always keep before you as a Christian? Well, let me suggest five ways in which you could be all that God would have you to be when it comes to being diligent as God calls you to be. So firstly, if you're going to truly exemplify our passage, if you are going to avoid laziness and be diligent, you must remember always that God made you to work. That's where we must begin, in the beginning of the Bible. What are the five ways to avoid laziness? What are the five ways to embrace a biblical work ethic? Firstly, remember that God made you to work. Dear friends, work is a blessing to man, not a blight. A blessing, not a blight. Work is a good thing, not a curse, because it existed in the world before the fall, and therefore it was part of God's original plan and will for man. So the point is, if you're going to work hard and avoid laziness, you must have and maintain a good and proper theology of work. You must not embrace the world's mantras in this regard. Rather, you must remember that from the beginning, God created you, God created man for this sacred task. And here I think about Paul's words there in Romans 12. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, when Paul says, "Therefore, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God." So, dear Christian, here's an area where that passage would definitely apply. Don't be conformed to this world. Literally, Paul says to the Romans, stop being conformed to this world. It was already happening in their thinking. He says, stop being like them. Stop being conformed, but rather be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. And perhaps some of you here have embraced a worldly perspective concerning work. Perhaps you give yourself many passes in life. Well, I've done my 40 hours this week. I'm not going to lift my finger to do any more. Dear Christian here tonight, let the words of our passage sink deep within your heart. Think on these words very carefully. Secondly, if you're going to avoid the sin of laziness and work hard, you must regularly meditate upon what Scripture says about the blessings of hard work and the dangers of laziness. As we've seen tonight, there are many passages which speak to this matter. The Bible is replete with text in this regard. And so, dear Christian, man or woman, boy or girl, whoever you are, load your consciences with such passages as these, remembering that Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10, that if anyone will not work, let him neither rather shall he eat. My dear friends, if you're going to do extremely well in this area regarding work, you must remember that Paul said in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, that if anyone does not provide for his own, especially his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. You must load your consciences with those passages. You must let them burn deep within and say, "Oh God, may it never be said of me." Thirdly, to be motivated to work hard and avoid laziness, you must remember the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to see a hard worker? Look to Christ. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friends, in my view, a lazy Christian is an oxymoron. In my view, a lazy Christian is an oxymoron because our Savior was a very hard worker. No doubt our Lord worked hard in His Father's carpenter shop. And clearly He worked hard all the days of His ministry, doing the will of His Father, which was to accomplish our redemption. For Jesus says in John 4 and verse 34, "My food is to do the will of my Father who sent me and to finish his work." What great determination we see in the Savior. And out of all of the accusations that were ever made against him in the Word of God, as far as I know, no one ever said that he was a lazy man. So, dear Christians, the Word of God is plain. Christ has left us an example to follow in all areas. And in this area as well, we must follow him. Jesus was never lazy in his life. Rather, he was always doing the work which was committed to his hands, and we must do the same. Fourthly, if we are going to work hard and not be lazy, we must set clear and obtainable goals and not give up on them unless it's clear that it is not God's will for us to accomplish them. We must set clear goals as Christians. Why? If we don't, we're going to wander aimlessly in life. As Christians, we are not to live aimlessly. Rather, we are to live purposeful lives. While it's true that according to Proverbs 16 in verse 9b, it is the Lord who directs the path of his people, it is also true that in 9a, the other part of the verse, that a man's heart plans his way. A man's heart plans his way, but his steps are ordered by the Lord. So you don't see any passivity in the verse. Oh, God will just lead me to do what I need to do. Hopefully he'll move me off this couch to get a job, to start knocking on doors, to send out resumes, etc. No, a man's way, a man's heart plans his way. He plans. He does what he needs to do in order to accomplish goals. He's not passive. He's very aggressive in this regard. And so again, without clear goals, we lack direction. Without clear goals, we will never hit our targets. Well, fifthly then, if we're going to excel in our work and avoid the sin of laziness, we must pray for much grace. We must pray. Everything that we do in all of life must be supported with prayer. As we seek to work hard for God's glory and honor. For Paul says, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. We must regularly ask Christ to stir us up. Oh, Lord Jesus, help me not to be the lazy man in the Word of God, but help me to be the diligent man, like my Savior, like the apostles. Help me to serve you with vigor, knowing that whatever my hands find to do, I am to do it with all my might. And so along with remembering the fact that work is a creation ordinance, along with meditating upon Scripture, and along with remembering our Lord Jesus Christ and setting goals, we must always remember to pray. Pray hard for ourselves in this regard and pray for others in this regard as well. Now, having spoken to you tonight, dear Christian, about being diligent in natural things, working hard, having jobs, doing all that you can in the jobs that you have, in the pursuits that you desire, whatever those pursuits might be. Let me turn the conversation over to spiritual things for a few moments. Dear brothers and sisters, I'm sure that you realize that there is such a thing as spiritual laziness. Spiritual laziness. And let me just say, dear friends, that spiritual laziness is perhaps much worse than natural laziness, because spiritual laziness affects our never dying souls. Now, dear Christian, listen. If you are spiritually lazy, you will suffer greatly in your walk with Christ. You know, sometimes people say to me, Pastor, I feel so dry in my walk with Jesus. They say, I feel like I'm not spiritually prospering. And so I ask them, are you attending the means of grace? I ask them, are you reading your Bibles daily? Are you praying daily? Are you listening to sermons? Are you memorizing Scripture? Are you coming to church? To which they reply, well, not really. Well, friends, listen. If you're not making diligent use of the means of grace, then like the lazy man in our passage who desired much, you will have nothing. You see, what's true in the natural realm is also true in the spiritual realm. He desired, he had nothing. You desire to be a man of God. If you don't work to that end, it will never happen. So take up your Bibles and read. Pray to the Lord your God. Study the Scriptures. Memorize the Word of God. Be at church whenever the door is open, and you will prosper in your souls. Dear friends, if I've said it once, I've said it 100 times. Listen closely. There are no shortcuts in the Christian life. No shortcuts. You want to be a great man, a woman of God? You want to excel? You want to be a spiritual giant for Jesus? Get to work. Get to work. Get on your knees and pray. Seek the Lord your God regularly. Your 5 or 10 minute devotion once or twice a week is not going to cut it. What you put in is what you're going to get out. Spiritual laziness. It's a great sin among God's people. And I think some of you are in this sin yourselves. A dear friend, listen. Your soul needs to be fed. Starve your soul and you will be a weak Christian. That's just how it is. Starve your stomach and you're going to be physically weak. Don't eat for a few days. See what's going to happen. You're going to be sluggish. You're going to be tired. I got no energy. I can't do nothing. That's how some of you are as Christians. It's not good, friend. It's not good. Think about the great giants in the Christian faith. Who were they? Spurgeon, Edwards, Luther, Calvin, the Puritans. Think about all the great men of God in our day. How did they get to be great? It's not because they're great. It's because they have a great God. However, they're also great at using the means of grace to attain greatness in Jesus Christ the Lord. There's no way to get around it, dear friends. These men, these women who've been used of God to do great things spent much time with Him. You will not show me one great Christian who excelled for the Lord and was used of Him to advance His kingdom who did not spend a lot of time being diligent in the means of grace. The connection is always there. It must be, for Jesus said in John 15, apart from me, you can do nothing. So how about you here this evening? How about you, dear Christian? Do you crave to be a great man or woman of God? And yet you feel stagnant? Do you desire to be a spiritual giant? And yet you fall short? Well, friends, never forget that what's true in the natural, as I said, is true also in the spiritual. Those who take no pains in spiritual matters will never grow. Those who do not make full use of the things of God all the time, regularly, as much as they can, will never thrive spiritually speaking. So let me encourage you afresh this night. Be diligent in the use of the means of grace. Don't be a lazy Christian, spiritually speaking. Memorize the Word. Get into the Word. Pray to the Lord your God. What did the psalmist say in Psalm 1? I just read it to you. Psalm 1, what do we read? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of God, in the Torah of God. And in his law, he meditates occasionally. It's not what it says. In his law, he meditates, literally muses it back to himself both day and night, all the time. What's the result? Here it is. Listen, he shall be like a tree, not withering and dying, but planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaves shall also not wither. And whatever he does shall what? Prosper. Whatever he does, he shall be made fat. That's the truth of the passage. That's the truth that I'm setting forth before you now. Secondly, then, let me move on and speak to you parents here this evening and children in this place. So firstly, parents, dear parents, let me strongly encourage you to model diligence before your children. Let me strongly encourage you to do this. Well, again, as I said, you ought to show your children the value of rest and the importance of keeping the Lord's Day. You must also show them that God has made them to work 6 days a week, and you need to be an example to them in this. Shame on you, dear parents, if you are a couch potato. Shame upon you if your kids constantly see you in front of the television set or iPodding or doing whatever you do. Shame upon you if this is the image that comes to your children's mind when they think about you, mom or dad. Since Paul says to us in Romans 12 and verse 11 that we are not to lag in diligence, but to be fervent in spirit serving the Lord, this is how we must always be. This is Paul's MO. Fervent in spirit, not lagging in diligence. Now, dear friends, since in the parable of the talents it was the wicked and lazy servant who was condemned by our Lord, we must live in opposition to this. Also, parents, let me say that besides your example, which I hope is good, beside your example to your children, listen, don't enable your children to be lazy by not giving them work to do. It's another crime that I see in certain homes. Dear parents, don't do all the dishes in your homes. Don't do all the wash. Don't clean the entire house on your own. Don't do all the cooking. Don't do all the ironing of clothes. Get your children to do it for themselves. Don't clean the entire house on your own. Don't do all the cooking. Get your kids to clean their rooms. Get your kids to help in the kitchen. Teach them to iron their clothes. Because parents, if you don't do these things, you are setting your kids up for failure. You are creating sluggards in your own home. But secondly, under this heading, for you, dear children in this place, listen, now is the time for you to embrace the principle that is set forth in our passage. Right now, today, this evening, you are to think about what I've said and see the folly and the ruinous end that the lazy person comes into, and see the blessed end that the diligent, hardworking individual comes into, and cry out to God and say, I don't want to be like that. I want to glorify Christ. I want to live like He lived. I want to know the blessings that God would have for me as I live in that way. Right now, dear young people, whoever you are, you must pray to God, help me to embrace this perspective here this night. Be done with the ways of the world. Get out that terrible thinking which is against the Scripture. But pray in the passage. Lord, you said the hand of the diligent shall rule. You said the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. Help me to be such an individual like this. My dear young people, listen, you are becoming now what you will be one day. Right now, you are becoming what you will be one day. If you are aggressive with your work, if you are diligent with your chores around the home and your schoolwork, etc., you are becoming what you will be one day. A blessing to your spouse, a blessing to your family, a blessing to society, a blessing to your church. But if you are lazy, if mom and dad have to plead with you over and over again, clean your room, why can't you take out the garbage? How many times do I got to tell you? Sound familiar, parents? I'm just asking. If you have to constantly be spoken to, it's going to be very hard to change in the days ahead. You're becoming now what you'll be one day. Is that a good thing for you? Or a bad thing? I hope it's a good thing. I hope we're raising diligent children in this place. You men in the back, I hope the same is true for you. You're becoming now what you'll be one day. Pray to God that you'll be a diligent worker now, so that you will be a diligent worker later. I counsel couples pretty regularly these days. And you see in couples that are married, they're in their 20s. There's laziness in the husband. Why? Because he was never forced to work. His parents were very soft with him, very easy, gave him lots of passes. And what happens to that kid? What happens to the daughter who never learned how to cook and she gets married? God forbid. She can't cook? She can't iron? She doesn't know how to iron? I don't understand. How can't you iron? How can't you cook? Well, that individual gets married to someone else. And now that marriage is already in big trouble. She doesn't do anything. She doesn't know how to cook. She doesn't know how to clean. He doesn't know how to mow the lawn or change the oil. It's a recipe for disaster. Stop it today if it's true of you. And speak to your parents. Look, we need to change some things because I don't want to become that horrible person one day that Pastor Ventura was warning us about. I want to be a blessing to my spouse, not a blight. I want to be a blessing to my church, not a blight. Oh, dear young people, please think long and hard concerning our text this evening. Pray it in and then work out the practical applications of it. Chip in at your homes, chip in at school, chip in at the church. My dear young people, since you are growing up in a society where hard work is often frowned upon, you must heed the words of our text very carefully. If you would glorify God, if you would bring glory to Jesus' name, if you would provide for your family and others in the days ahead, and be diligent and avoid the sin of slothfulness, you must take heed to our passage. Dear young people, I say that the sin of slothfulness has slain its thousands, but I would spare you. This sin has been the ruin of many, but I would have you to prosper in all things. I end this evening with a word to any among us who are not Christians. You're here tonight and you're not saved. You don't know Jesus Christ in truth. You haven't been born again. What can I say to you, my dear friend, whoever you may be here this night? Well, while I can certainly encourage you in natural things concerning our passage, which is before us, tonight I want to apply our passage more spiritually. Tonight, my dear non-Christian, I want to set forth another parable to you, and it is this. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. You've heard this saying before. And while it has different meanings, what I mean by it is, perhaps tonight you say in your own heart that you sincerely want to be a Christian. Perhaps you say that you sincerely want to be saved and have all of your sins forgiven. But I say, friend, that if you will not seek the Lord while he may be found, if you will not call upon his name while he is near, you will never be saved. Listen, dear friend, you may desire to be saved, but you will have nothing. Isn't that what our passage says? The soul of the lazy man desires and has nothing. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. I would be saved. I would have Christ to give me a new heart, but I won't seek him diligently. You will have nothing. The Bible says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. The prophet could go on to say, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, for our God will abundantly pardon. If you do not seek God He will not be found by you. So, my dear unbeliever, don't slip into hell with good intentions of seeking Christ, but yet you never seek Him. Don't slip into hell with a good desire in your heart to be saved, but then don't exercise that desire in a real and living faith. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. You know when Jesus is near? He's near when His people gather together. Jesus is here tonight. He would save you. Don't be lazy and put off another opportunity to be saved. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. The Bible says today, not tomorrow, but today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that it is indeed a lamp to our feet and a light to our pathway. We pray, O God, that You would burn the truths of this passage deep within us. And while, O God, we would enjoy rest and vacation and the rest from time to time, Lord, help us not to be lazy people. Help us not to be lazy in natural things or in spiritual things. O God, help Your congregation, I pray, to be mighty men and women in this regard. Might they rise up and shake off sluggardness. O God, do us all good, we pray. Help us to be the men and women that You would have us to be. We ask these things only through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.